The FDA issued an emergency use authorization for a new COVID vaccine to Pfizer and Moderna. Here is their release about it. I want to make sure that you have access to this data, and we're going to go over it together. Everything I'm going to show you is from their data. I am not extrapolating anything. Once we go through this, you're going to have the same question as me. Why do we need a new COVID vaccine? Why is it considered an emergency? And I don't want to bury the lead. So again, why no clinical trials? None, zero. That's right, you guessed it. There are no human clinical trials on this new COVID vaccine. So how did the FDA decide to authorize this? They used animal testing, but we don't even this time get to know how many animals. Recall that the second COVID vaccine was tested only on 9 mice. Well, this time we don't get the number, it just says animals. We're not sure which animals, we don't know how many animals. I was not able to find it, but again, I'm pointing you to all this original data. So if you find it, you let me know. Now, what both vaccine fact sheets say from Moderna and Pfizer is that they based their decision on clinical trials from the original COVID vaccine. Why? How can they do that? Right? They're saying it's close enough. Similar recipe, you know, grandma's recipe versus second generation recipe. Okay. Even though those trials never showed that those vaccines stopped COVID, they weren't tested for that. They only tested for symptoms, meaning did people sneeze and cough after getting the vaccines. They never tested if they lessened the severity of COVID, and they never tested whether they prevented death or hospitalization. They also showed high incidence of injury, but the FDA thinks those are hunky-dory and fine, and they can be applied to a new batch of COVID vaccines. That's what they're saying. Here's what we know about the only, what they're calling non-clinical trials, is that the non-clinical data reviewed on the Moderna vaccine was used with laboratory animals. We don't know which ones anymore. We don't get mice or pangolins or what have we used before? Monkeys or what have you. Yeah, so now they're just saying some laboratory animals elicited higher neutralizing antibodies compared to the previous formulation or other variants. Now, again, they're not saying they didn't contract COVID. They're not saying they had fewer symptoms. They're not saying anything about severity, just that they showed antibodies in their blood. That's what they think is fine. Here's what Pfizer says about their clinical trial. Again, non-clinical data demonstrating that Pfizer vaccine, when administered to vaccine-naive and vaccine-experimented laboratory animals, again, we don't know which kind, elicited higher neutralizing antibodies. So we know nothing about contraction. We know nothing about severity of contraction or disease, nothing. And what about the risks? Well, we don't know because we didn't get any human tests. But they do have the same warnings about myocarditis based on original trial data. Okay, what though about the strain of COVID that this vaccine addresses? This vaccine is meant for Omicron variant KP.2, but that variant is like mom jeans. It's out of fashion. Take a look at the CDC data from today showing that KP.2 is one of the least popular variants, responsible for less than 3% of infections right now. In fact, the most popular variant right now is KP.3.1.1. In this CDC announcement about that variant, they admit that COVID no longer causes severe illness. You guys.
That's what the CDC is saying. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, can we just leave that up full screen and we can all stare at that with our mouth agape?
This is the CDC saying COVID-19, quote, no longer causes severe illness on the scale it once did, end quote.
Yes. So how do we know that we need a vaccine for something that does not cause severe illness? Also, how do we know that a COVID shot for KP.2 would even apply to KP.3.1.1? We don't. We don't know at all. The FDA says that here they expect that to happen. The updated vaccines are expected to provide protection against COVID-19 caused by circulating variants, barring the emergence of a more markedly infectious variant. they expect it to happen. So notice how they're not saying we know that it will, or we really think that it will, or data shows that it will. It's just like, we expect that because we've been saying that all along. That's not science.
Well, hang on. How does that compare to a placebo? So like how would they be able to tell if it's any more effective than a placebo would be? Because it sounds to me like everything they're describing is such a minor, if it's such a minor thing anyway, then how would they, I would like to see that.
That's yes, me too.
That's kind of science. Science 101.
Exactly.
A control group. No, test it.
A control group.
No. Their conclusion is they expect their conclusion. That's it.
Their conclusion is that they expect their conclusion.
Yes.
So you don't need a control group, Philip. This is the new science.
I know. I should have went on to get my master's because then they would have told me that that's how true science is done. You just expect the results and you don't have to test for them.
Oh my God.
Yep. And so what they're saying here is that they need to reassess the composition of the COVID vaccine annually, much like the flu vaccine, meaning the flu vaccine, which is made for the variant that they think will be the most popular in the upcoming months. That's how they're going to formulate COVID vaccines from now on. But what about the emergency bit? Why is this worthy of an emergency use authorization? Well, you can assess for yourself. Here's the data on COVID-related emergency visits. You can see that they are down by 2.6% from last month, and they only account for 2.5% of all emergency room visits at all. Take a look at this state-by-state data. No state has even a substantial percentage of COVID emergencies. You see, if it were even substantial, it'd be orange. All we've got here is a smattering of yellow states with slightly high emergency room visits. Now, what about COVID-related hospitalizations? Well, those are trending up from the summer decline, but recall, people are going back to school, so infection rates are expected to rise.
Oh, you mean like the flu every year?
But yeah, let's parse this data by age group, and it will show us exactly what we have always known, that the highest hospitalization rates are in people 65 and over. That's that blue line that you see right there is 65 plus. And in fact, what we know is that young people are not at a high risk for COVID hospitalizations or infections, even though the FDA is now suggesting everyone over 5 get a COVID shot. We are not seeing an emergency for anyone under 65. Okay, but what about COVID deaths? Yeah, go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say that previous chart, I would like to overlay the flu season on top of that and see how similar it is.
Well, okay, I was looking at, like, let's think of it, every week for the last, like, say, month, about 20 to 50 people have died of the flu, whereas what they're saying is that COVID deaths are in the 300 to 400 per month. But what we know, in fact, let's take a look at COVID deaths, because, you know, the data does show that it is a little bit higher than flu deaths. But we also know that we don't get accurate data of people who die with COVID and people who die from COVID. So this chart shows high rates of death during the peak of the pandemic, but we can't know if those were comorbidity deaths, deaths from something else. Also, a lot of them are from deaths for people that had positive COVID tests, but we now know that the COVID test, the PCR test, has a 95% fail rate. So we don't know how much to trust this chart, but we do see that deaths are low enough that it would not constitute an emergency. I think we can at least all agree about that, right?
Well, what is an emergency, right? So under Operation Warp Speed, which was, of course, put into place by President Trump, and Operation Warp Speed basically gave the Pentagon powers to fast track these drugs through emergency use authorization and avoid all of the regulatory hurdles that they would normally go through. As journalist Max Jones pointed out, he was a guest on our show a few months ago. He wrote a great piece for Unlimited Hangout about how they're trying to create a permanent new emergency use authorization platform so that everything becomes an emergency because, as he pointed out, Moderna basically almost collapsed beforehand because they had to go through normal human trials and regulations, and they had to deal with actually proving that their vaccines worked. Once they were able to get this emergency use authorization, they were able to avoid all of that and then make billions of dollars. They don't like the regulation. They don't like that the fact that they have to go through these trials.
Right. So they're telling us
what happened.
Yeah, please.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, what happens then if there is an actual emergency?
Right, because people have cried wolf so many times. Yeah, people have cried wolf so many times. Right, exactly. Great point.
Yeah. So I think that I've proven to you that the CDC itself shows us that we don't have a COVID emergency. So then why do we have an emergency COVID vaccine when we, and again, why does this new COVID vaccine exist when we don't even know how it works in humans? We don't have proof that it does anything that they told us that it would do. And again, there's no emergency. Well, here's how the FDA, the major question, why, right? Here's how the FDA answers that. They say that vaccination continues to be the cornerstone of COVID-19 prevention. And then yada, 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 some nonsense about, you know, what effectiveness and blah, blah, blah. But see how, if you continue to look at this quote, how careful they are not to say that the vaccine prevents COVID or even severe COVID or hospitalization. They don't say that at all because the data doesn't support that. All they say is that is the cornerstone of prevention, which I'm going to give an LOL to that. If I could just like react with a LOL.
Well, and also, they don't give you any. So like I just watched a hearing the other day where they were talking about like, why did they stop the trials on the initial one with the animals? And it's because a percentage of them didn't survive. But so we're not even going to know if they actually stopped the testing because of that. So are they doing the same thing? We only get the information up to the point where it survives or doesn't survive. Like there's so much data that we're not getting.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, a lot of that animal data is because they killed the animals on purpose within 2 to 4 weeks of the vaccine trials so that we couldn't actually get long-term data. I believe that we went over that in 2022. I can look over my notes if you'd like. But yes, that is quite purposeful. So, okay, you decide if you think that this all constitutes an emergency that would then have you running out to get these new shots that were only tested on animals, that's for you to decide. And I present this last bit to you with a little bit of Schadenfreude. I admit it's petty, but I'm going to do it. What political party, Clayton, was the most likely to get the COVID shot?
I think the Democratic Party.
Yes, Democratic Party. I like this Reason headline calls them the party of COVID authoritarianism. Yes to that. Well, now the CDC has also admitted that COVID vaccination is a risk factor for contracting COVID because it lowers your immunity. And now we have a lot of data showing that the more shots you get, the more likely you are to contract COVID. If you want that data, write me on X. I can send it to you. So is it any wonder then that COVID cases are soaring from people who went to the Democratic National Convention? I'm not saying this is related, but is it, given that they love COVID vaccines so much and then they are contracting COVID at a high rate after their convention? I don't wish them any harm. I hope they all get a nice dose of natural immunity that will last them through the flu season. They don't now seem to need a COVID shot because we have proof that natural infection provides superior immunity to vaccination. But if they want to go get that shot, well, then they... okay, waste their natural immunity. So, okay, if they want to take it, they can take it. It exists, right? But will you, based on this information, let me know in the comments.